This past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. We remember and we celebrate the 40 days, not including Sundays, before Jesus' crucifixion, death, and resurrection. Lent is a time for all of us who are believers to do some very important self-examination and repentance, to look within ourselves and ask, where have I fallen short? And where can I take steps to be closer to Jesus in this coming year? It's not too late to plan to give up something or to add something to our spiritual life, our devotional life for Lent, to lay distractions aside, to move beyond a simple faith and move beyond childish beliefs, and to be more fully focused and engaged in Jesus into a authentic discipleship. This Lent season, we're challenging ourselves to read through the book of Mark in the New Testament. As we walk through Mark, we are asking questions for us to ponder and urge us to step closer to Jesus. And there are four books in our Bibles detailing the life of Jesus. And Mark is the shortest of those four books. Mark gets right to the action, keeps moving through his book. Mark is focused. He is very fact-based of the Gospels. Mark is the shortest book. Mark begins his book, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. My friends, this is obviously especially the good news. We pick up our story of Mark in chapter 2 with the story of a group of friends who do everything possible, do everything they can, including some roof work, to get their friend in front of Jesus. Jesus forgives his sins before dealing with his physical ailment. Jesus deals with the heart of the matter first. Now, among the miracles of Jesus, this is one of the better known healing stories. Some of that is probably due to the vandalism that takes place in the story. That always gets everybody's attention. But another is because of the faith of the people helping the person in need. That way that's why we go and we get to see the extreme measures that take place to get in front of Jesus. This story is found in three of the four Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, if you turn in your Bibles with me to Mark, really, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles, in your Bible app, or on the screen behind me, and follow along. Mark 2, starting with verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. Now the place where this miracle occurred was Capernaum. And Mark tells us that people gathered in a very large number. They followed Jesus as Jesus was preaching the word of God to them. This place is described as his own city in Matthew 4. It's located on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. This place also serves as a place for his public ministry in Galilee. Most of his time in ministry is done in Galilee, and Jesus was preaching. I'm sorry, I'm going back to paper. Jesus was preaching in a house which was overflowing with listeners. The healing of this paralytic contains valuable lessons for all of us. And those come to us depending on the view, the account of the view, the story that you choose to see it from. So we have the account that shows us that Christ works by grace. The account of the friends. His friends carry him to Jesus in Mark 2:3. And they come bringing the paralytic and bring a paralytic carried by four men. Now, we often give credit to the four men carrying the man on the mat, but I think there must have been more than four men involved in this story. Because all the translations say they, or some people, and then it says carried by four of them. These people carried him to Jesus, and they were faithful friends. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever carried a stretcher before, but it's not that easy. Even if the person you're trying to haul along is not that heavy, because it's all dead weight. The person you're on the stretcher can't help you carry it. He can't help you move it. And you all have to work together to get the job done. So as they get near Jesus, people had filled the house to where they were surrounding the house. They could not even gain entrance. No one wanted to give up their spot. No one wanted to miss a word of what Jesus was saying. So they go to the roof of the house and they make a hole in the roof and they lower their friend on a mat to get him in front of Jesus. The only person who could make a difference. Now that's a faith that expects something to happen. That is not a faith that thinks, well, I hope this works. No one is going to go through all that work if they're not expecting something amazing to happen. They know that Jesus is the answer to the question, where are we going to take our friend? Then we have the account of the paralyzed man. He is totally immobile. Confined to his stretcher, completely dependent on the help of those faithful friends around him. He is unable to do anything to enter the house where Jesus is. He cannot help in any way make it to the roof of the house. He cannot help lower himself down on the mat. He is dependent on his friends and whatever idea they come up with. Hold my cup, watch this. He is dependent on a community of believers. My friends, this is why we need church. This is why we need to be in community with other believers. This is why we need to be the type of Christian God wants us to be. So that there is no hesitation on the part of people in need, who are truly in need. So that they know there is a place, that there is a person that they can go to when life no longer makes sense. Then we have the account of the pardon. As Jesus sees the effort put forth for the paralyzed man, he does something incredible. Now, he could have simply said, just get up and go, get up and walk. However, Jesus sees the faith of all those involved. And in Mark 2:5, he says, when Jesus saw their faith, he says to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Jesus deals with the sin first rather than the physical infirmity. This transformation starts from the inside out. Jesus observes the faith of the paralyzed man and his friends, and he knows that they believe in the miracle and the power, that he has the power over sickness. They long for healing for their bedridden friend. Jesus sees their faith, that they know that Jesus can heal him. And that's why Jesus replied, son, your sins are forgiven. Matthew adds the words, take heart, my son, in Matthew 9. At first, it might seem strange that Jesus first forgives this man's sin rather than healing him. But Jesus' purpose will soon be revealed. He and his friends had the faith, but the religious people in the room did not. Craig Grossel, in The Christian Atheist, shares a story of a pastor who once asked the church to pray that God would shut down the neighborhood bar. The whole church gathered for an evening prayer meeting, pleading that God would rid the neighborhood of the evils of this bar. A few weeks later, lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. Now, having heard about the church's prayer crusade, the bar owner promptly sued the church. When the court date finally arrived, the bar owner passionately argued that the church, or that God struck his bar with lightning because the church members prayed. The pastor backtracked, brushing off the accusations. Now, he admitted that the church had prayed, but he also affirmed that no one in the congregation actually expected anything to happen. The judge leaned back in his chair, a mix of amusement and perplexity on his face. Finally, he spoke. He said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Right in front of me is a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and a pastor who does not. The truth is, some Christian atheists believe in God, but they don't believe in the power of prayer. They might claim to believe prayer works, but their actions show otherwise. Some rarely pray, and when they do, they don't expect anything to change. Many Christian atheists create a long list of reasons why not to pray, from feeling not good enough at it, feeling they are good enough at it, to being bored when they pray, from not wanting to bother God with their small requests, to not thinking our prayers actually make any difference. While these may seem like giant hurdles we can't get over, we most certainly can. Rather than viewing prayer as a mostly boring and ineffective ritual, prayer must become the heartbeat of all that we do. Prayer reminds us that we are not in control, and keeps us close to the one who is. That leads us to the account of the hostile critics. Mark 2:6. Now some of the scribes who were visiting there questioned in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were questioning within themselves and said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts?" Luke's parallel passage to this story mentions both scribes and Pharisees were there. They thought these things in their hearts, not speaking them, but just thinking them in their hearts, silently accusing Jesus of blasphemy. They didn't recognize Jesus as the Son of God. They don't have the faith like the people surrounding them, the other people in the room. Now, this is Jesus's first public declaration that he is not just a prophet, but that he is the Son of God. And here is Jesus's purpose for forgiving the man before healing him, to make known his divine power, his ability to forgive sins. Mark 2:8. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were questioning within themselves, he said, "Why do you question these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up, rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Both require divine authority and power. The healing and the forgiving power of Jesus. And Jesus has the power to do both. Jesus has the power to show and the account of God's glory. Jesus also heals the man's body. In Mark 2:11, he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw anything like this." For the paralytic man, he was healed. Jesus tells him to rise, take your bed and go, and to go home, and he did. He saw Jesus heal, or he was healed because of Jesus, because of his faith, his friend's faith, and frankly, because Jesus said so. It was a question of paralysis, not sin. But Jesus went beyond the symptoms of the cause. He would not heal the body and neglect the soul. He would not remedy the temporal condition and leave the internal condition untouched. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." It was a wonderful announcement. Now, on this earth, in this life, this man's sins are forgiven. He had the present assurance of forgiveness, just like all the people who put their faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. As he got up immediately, it was seen in the presence of all who were there. Many saw the power and the majesty of Jesus. He was healed. And it's true that Jesus had the authority to forgive sins and to heal sickness. Luke adds that the man went glorifying God. For the people, they were amazed. The crowd had never seen anything like this before. Only by the words of Jesus, this man got up from his mat. Now, I don't think Mark did a very good job of concluding this story. In typical Mark fashion, it was just the facts. In Matthew's account, the writer adds, when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to man. And Luke chapter 5, it says, an amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. God's glory was made known to them by the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. A man was healed. People were amazed. Jesus' power was made known. God is glorified, and Jesus deals with what was most important, sin. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, what a day it is to worship you. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for the healing power, Lord, of your words. Help us, Lord, as we grow to be a people who have the faith that wants to be closer to you. As a people that come to you, not as a last resort, Lord, but as a people expecting, knowing, Lord, that you are all that we need. That we talk to you, Lord, with knowing you are what we need. And knowing, Lord, that you hear every word. May we also, Lord, be a people that after we say our prayer, Lord, and we say your will be done, may we not be angry when it is not what we thought it should be. Your ways are bigger, Lord, than our ways. Your view is bigger than our view. You, Lord, receive all of our praise. It is in your name that we pray. Amen.